Good morning and happy Sabbath again. Good to be back in the house of the Lord, even though I am the Lord's house. Where he dwells therein. Missed a couple weeks. The first week I missed, I had thought it was the flu. It was food poisoning. Got it from work. Somebody was either, they didn't change their knife from cutting raw chicken, or either didn't change their cutting board. One of the two. Nevertheless, I was infected by it, and a couple other people was as well. Yeah, I thought it was the flu. I think I would have rather had the flu. Nevertheless, I am here and doing kind of okay. So, that being said, let us pray, and then we'll get right to it. Father in heaven, Father God, be with me as I speak your words, not mine. Lord, it is my prayer that each and every one of us received a thanksgiving blessing behind the words that you have given me to speak. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope everyone had a very thankful Thanksgiving. I had to work. I think I'm probably the only person in here that had to work that day. Nevertheless, the title of my sermon today kind of ties in Larry's children's story, which is kind of cool. The title of it today is A New Mind, New Man. To become a new man, you have to kind of start from scratch, kind of like cooking. Start somewhere, and then you end up with the end results, whether good or bad. But with God, it's always going to be good. A new mind, a new man. Kind of like I guess, so to speak, you are what you eat kind of thing. But scripture tells us that a renewed mind aligns you with the will of God. We can find that in Romans 12 and 2, and also in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Talks about how Romans 12 and 2 tells us how not to be conformed to this world. We're in the world. We don't have to be of the world. We don't have to do what the world is doing. In Ephesians, it tells us how God has given us the wisdom. The closer that we get to him, he continues to give us the wisdom. A new mind. You become what you think. So if you're thinking negative thoughts, you're going to become a negative person. If you're thinking positive thoughts, you're going to become a positive person. How do we get positive thoughts? By reading the Word of God, reading positive things, listening to positive things. There's so much negativity we can easily access through TV, video, social media, and all these things. But the more we get to God, the better. The Bible even tells us to guard our hearts. And I found something very interesting through a lot of research. Did you know that the heart has a mind of its own? God gave us two utensils to think with. Seriously, you can look it up. The studies that I looked up, the last one that I looked up was very intriguing by a doctor, I think his name is Monroe. Dr. Monroe, a doctor out of Connecticut. And he's doing some research in the study, and he found that the heart has similar neurons as the brain has. The heart has the same neurons as the brain has that creates these different emotions. So the brain and the heart are connected as a symbolic one unit emotion, if you will. And I thought that was real interesting. So I kept digging. And on the right, and Jamie, I'm going to need your help with this one. I think it's the right ventricle?
Yes.
Okay. There are neurons packed together that helps the heart to think, same as the brain. And I thought that was very interesting. While I was going through this sermon, I kept running into Proverbs 4:23. Let's turn there with me, if you will. It's Proverbs 4:23. I kept looking for scriptures that talked about guard the mind. And it kept coming up talking about guarding the heart. And it had me stumped for a couple days on this. Why would I keep running to guard the heart when I'm looking for guard the mind? Apparently the heart has a mind of its own, which I thought was very intriguing. Proverbs 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." But I read in another version, the Common English Bible, and it reads, "More than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it." We all know the heart to be a pump that pumps and generates blood, and the blood flows through the body. The heart is like the life giver, if you will. So the Bible is telling us to protect that instrument, protect our mind, not just up here in our heads, but in our chest as well. And I thought that was very, very interesting and intriguing when I was going through that and reading that. I thought that was pretty cool. And I also read, that while protecting our heart, the more that we study God's word, read God's word, meditate on God's word, the more His will be crystallized to us, the more we'll be in tune with what God's will actually is for us. And the more we look at it and the more we study, we come to find out what God's will is for us. God's will is not for us to be angry and bitter. God's will for us is to be happy and be peaceful and inherit His kingdom. At the end of all of this, this is what God wants for us, is to inherit His kingdom and be happy. So the heart and the brain are like a perfect marriage, if I may say that. They're perfectly intertwined. Did that. As we continue on, we see that certain thoughts in our mind can produce desires. They also can produce actions. They can also produce fruit. The thoughts that we think can also produce life or either death. If we look at James chapter 1, 14 through 15, that gives us a pretty good picture of what that is. That's James 1, 14 through 15. This is talking about here, what consumes your mind controls your life. So if you consume your mind with the Bible and with God, that's what controls your life. If not, then you go the opposite way. But James 1, 14 through 15 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So, again, that quote I shared, what consumes your mind is what controls your life. I ask you a question today. What consumes your mind and what controls your life? You don't have to answer. It's a personal question for you. But whatever it is, I pray and hope that it's the Bible and it's God's word, and that we are daily meditating on his word and on his will. In closing, I would like to share something with you that I thought was real nice. It's a devotional, and it reads, "You are a thought away from change." And it starts out by saying, many, if not all of us, would like change to come to our lives. But if we are honest, we would prefer change to happen with a quick fix. However, some issues in our lives can be deep-rooted from years of flawed belief pattern, and the only way change could come is to first change our thought pattern. I can tell you from personal experience that most of the lasting changes that happened in my life all started with a change of mind. New mind, new man. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son. It is one of the most dynamic stories about the power of having a changed mind, of having change of mind. The story describes a man having two sons, and the youngest son decides he could not wait for his father to pass away to come into his inheritance. The young man probably got himself caught up with the wrong influences and the culture of his day, like so many of us do, and we make rash decisions just like him. Clearly, this young man was not thinking about securing the future, but living for the pleasure of the moment. I don't think the young man just woke up one day and decided he would splurge and be free. I believe it had to be over time he envisioned the free lifestyle, being popular, and being in charge of his own life. Once his thoughts and imaginations became filled with the imaginations of the free lifestyle, he acted on it. Well, as you guessed, his so-called free lifestyle landed him in extreme bondage. He wasted his inheritance, lost all his friends, and finally, there was a famine in the land. He came to the lowest point in his life that the only job he could land was to take care of pigs. The Bible describes his case as the lowest you can ever imagine. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. You can find that story in Luke 15. You can agree this is the lowest state to be in when pigs' food looks appealing. However, in this tragic state, something amazing happened that would change this young man's life forever. He had time to ponder, think, and meditate on the gracious Father he had and the abundance made available to even the servants that worked for his father. After having a change of mind, he changed his life. Today, you may be at a low place, but the truth is just like the prodigal son. You are only one thought away from changing your life. Then a quote at the end of it says, "The world we have created is a product of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." That was Albert Einstein. As we close, and before I pray, what changes in your life? We just had Thanksgiving. I'm very thankful. God blessed us with another year to be able to celebrate, have family, loved ones, and good food, as my pen breaks. Good food and all that good stuff. But at the end of all of it, where are our minds and our thoughts and our meditations? My prayer is that it is fastened on the Father. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, in these closing days, it is my prayer, Father God, that each and every one of us seated here today are willing to develop a new and changed mind, a way of thinking, Father God, a way of living, a changed pattern, Father God. That new mind is to focus more on you, not on ourselves, not what others can do for us, Father God, but on you. How can we better serve you? How can we be better stewards for you, Lord, in these last and final days? Lord, we see and we know that the time is coming quick, Father God. The signs are all around us. And Father God, it is my humble and solemn prayer that, as in the hymn says, we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Mm-hmm. Through the good, the bad, and everything in between, Father God. Father God, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, Father God, thank you so very much for everything you do and all that you are going to do for each and every one of us that are standing here right now in this moment. Father God, we lift you up. We lift you as high as we can lift you, Lord. And still, we lift you higher. Father God, as we get ready to sit and partake in a fellowship meal, Father God, we ask that you bless the food and bless the hands that made it as well. Father God, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.